This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, well, well. It's good to be back, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It's one of those weird midweek vacation days, but it certainly is good to be back. I did miss you guys, you the Tier 1s, and you, my co-hosts and buddies. To my right is Paul Reindl, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning to you, Benjamin.
Good morning, buddy.
I'm a little tired. It's a long day.
Oh, you're not rested and refreshed after your day off? I'm shocked. I thought you'd be right here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You take a vacation day. You're supposed to be well-rested.
That's right.
Exactly.
No, I was trying to. Somebody had asked for how many steps I took yesterday at Disney. It's not that many, actually. Like 15,000? That's not.
I would guess 20.
No, yeah, it's not that much.
It's like a round of golf. That's not too bad.
No, not too bad at all. I was pushing a double Bob stroller with two turds in it. My 6-year-old turd and my 3-year-old turd.
Getting heavy for the stroller.
They are, but it's also. They are getting heavy. They are too big for the stroller. There's no question. But I'm really glad we had it because dragging them from area to area is no good either.
Do they push back on it?
Or no, they jump in.
They like getting...
Bro, it's...
They're not like, I'm too old for a stroller.
No, God, no. It's VIP service, man. They jump right in and dad weaves them in and out of the park and, you know, everywhere they want to go. We had a great time, dude. We had a great time. It's one of the, few instances when, you have a wife with crippling OCD, that actually works in your favor. And I mean in your favor. You cannot do Disney more efficiently than we do, because of her and her alone. I was telling her yesterday after it was all said and done, I said, thank you for a great day. I hope you enjoyed yourself too. She didn't look up from her phone. Because she was just getting locked in. She wasn't like texting or like playing on Instagram. She was getting us locked in for the next thing. And that's obsessive compulsive disorder in a nutshell. And it can't be in the moment, really. I'm worrying about what's next. And listen, you use that weakness as a strength at a place like Disneyland. And she just crushed it. Now, if it had been me and the boys, just me taking them. Dude, I shudder to think what their experience would have been like.
Two rides.
Max two rides. We would have gotten to the first one we wanted to go to, which was
you would have been there the same amount of time,
but two rides. No. If it were just me and them, we would have sat in one line for the second ride, and I'd be like, you guys ready? Here, let's go to the gift shop. I'll buy you guys whatever you want. Let's get the hell out of here. I would have been back home by 9:30, and we left San Diego at 5:30 in the morning yesterday.
You were there early.
We were there early. We were in the parking garage with about 20 minutes till they opened, which was fine. You park. We get down, get to the rope drop area, which was insane. I need people to remember, when you go to Disneyland, this is still a society of rules. So when everyone lines up, I texted you guys a picture down Main Street. So they have you there waiting at Main Street.
It's a corral.
So in a corral, though, this is what bothered me. We're all sitting there, you know, many families and strollers. Then you see the people weaving their way up to the front through the people that are already there in line. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
We're all standing.
I mean, it's not a...
We all made it.
It's not specifically a line.
It's not like a single file line.
No,
but
it's not.
It's a group of people in a general line.
And people are sitting there with their strollers, their families, and everyone's waiting. And then you have the... excuse me. And they push out of the way, and you're like... So I was just like...
But even though it's not a line, you really shouldn't advance beyond
your area.
Your general area where you have ended up once you get in.
Yes, correct. So that was annoying. I will say this, too. You would think I'm crazy here, but I do have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old who's almost 4. He'll be 4 next week. That dude loves rides. He doesn't care that Pinocchio's running around. He doesn't care that, oh, look at that. Like, he wants to go blazingly fast on a ride. That's what all Taylor cares about. And Bo's pretty down with the same thing. They need more rides.
Well, then maybe you need to go to Magic Mountain instead of Disneyland.
I was thinking about that.
To me, and I get it, I haven't been in a few years, but we did the lightning passes and got,
elite.
Which is great, but I also like the down moments at Disneyland. The times in between, even occasionally waiting in one of those lines is just kind of a reset sort of moment because there is other things to do at Disneyland. If you're just going ride, then you could go to any amusement park.
Okay, so while I tend to agree that when you're walking from Frontierland to somewhere else, it's cool. You look around. But once you've done it three or four times, you've done it. You know that that's here and that's there, and we stop here. We got our beignets, which the best food in the park are those beignets. They're just unbelievable. We crush those. But I will say, having more rides. So we did Space Mountain first, which was amazing. And then we did the train, the runaway train. What's it called?
Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain, elite. So much fun.
Agree.
And then we went over and to Star Wars Land, and we did Rise of the Resistance, and we did the...
I've not been there since Star Wars Land existed.
It's crazy.
That was
really
fun.
Cool. It's crazy cool. And then we did the Millennium Falcon one where you pilot and shoot and all that.
Smuggler's Run.
Smuggler's Run. So we did that. Bro, by that time, we had knocked all of that out in about an hour. Hour and 10 minutes. So it's 9:15. We've ridden four of the best rides there, and I'm like, what's next? She's like, let's try Matterhorn. Matterhorn had a huge, long delay. Oh, we can get on at 7:15 tonight. I'm like, all right. We went to get some food, whatever. We ended up at Autopia, which...
Gosh, kids love Autopia.
Let's be honest.
Parents hate it.
We're waiting for go-karts. You're waiting for a go-kart is what you're waiting for. It's not... You're waiting for a go-kart, which you could do almost anywhere. So we did that. It was blazingly hot. I feel like there need to be more rides. Now, we did end up sneaking on to a Fast Pass came available for the Matterhorn. We ended up going. Taylor missed the height by, I'm talking, a grain of rice width. Like a grain of rice. Lady's like, no, sorry. I looked at her. I'm like, you're joking.
It's 41.9 inches
tall. Okay. Yeah, dude.
Wait. So where in the line was the height measurement?
We walked straight up because we knew most of them were 40. This one was 42. But he'd been banging his head on the 40 all day.
But you didn't wait in line for an hour.
No.
To realize.
We walked up and measured first.
Okay.
So Hannah goes, I've got the fast passes. You and Bo just go. So we went on the Matterhorn. It was fun. Loud. Ripped my back in half. But I feel like there needs to be more rides. Like rides. For as big as it is, for expensive as it is, I would like more rides. And I don't mean the little pissant, teacups and elephants
flying. Sounds like you would like California Adventure.
Maybe do
they
both.
They have more. Yeah. Both is, it's a long day, but both is probably a good way to go. Or you do a two-day trip. But.
All right, next year I'm taking off Wednesday and Thursday. So,
great, Paul. No, it only works on Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Yeah, okay.
It's weird. More rides, though. Like, more fun rides as opposed to attractions.
And listen, people are listening to this going, hey, bro. People are listening to this going, hey, bro, it's not about you. It's about your kids. I'm telling you what my kids want. My kids don't give a rat's ass world. They want Taylor isn't happy until his hair's on fire going down I'm a little nervous about him in the future. We both are. He's either going to be like a straight edge, extreme sports guy, or he's going to be Frank the Tank. There's no in between for him. There's a rush. He needs it. And the second we would get off a ride, I want to go on another ride. I'm like, buddy, we've ridden everything. I want to go on another ride. I'm like, bro, I don't know what to tell you. Like, let's go back to Space Mountain. I'm like, we can't use the Fast Pass twice.
Now, I don't know. I haven't looked up any of the information on this. Megan was telling me recently, I don't think it's out yet, but Disneyland is like implementing a new system better than the Fast Pass. It's like $400, you get to the front of every line.
Done. It's done.
It's very...
$400 a person.
It's done. Worth it. Are you kidding?
It's problematic to me a little bit.
Why?
You're the problem.
I mean...
You're why Disney is doing stuff like that, because people are like, $1,600, fine.
No.
That slows down everybody else. Even the regular lightning lines, that's going to slow everybody else down.
The guy that paid $80 is like, F you, man.
It's worth it. I don't like waiting in lines. All right? I don't like waiting in lines at all. You can rip through it faster. I like efficiency. I will pay for efficiency. Right? So I have no problem, none, doing that. And if it is it just for Disneyland or is it for both? Because if it's for both,
I think they're going to do it for both.
I would imagine it's for both.
I wouldn't do 800 a person to do both, but if it was 400 for both cards.
I think it will be 800 a person to do both, yes.
Whew, that's a little steep. I might if it was Hannah and me. Maybe. But even that's pretty steep. Well, no, we would just bang Disneyland. We would just go to California Adventure.
I guess, did they make it that expensive in the hopes that only a few people will actually do it?
I think so.
Because maybe. If it's affordable enough for everybody to do it,
that's in addition to the admission
ticket.
Doesn't include your ticket.
Then
that's
they're like
above and beyond
all right,
the ticket.
This is ultra VIP. That's going to be $1,600 a pop.
Disneyland,
I was thinking about
it's brutal,
it. Yeah, I was thinking about it yesterday, and there was I think Kim Kardashian rented it out for the day, and all that kept going in my mind was, all right, A, how does that meeting go? And B, what's that number? What's the number? Like, what do they need to push aside to say,
all those people who are paying
For
probably
exorbitant
hundreds and hundreds per person on average when it goes down to admission, you know, souvenirs, food, and everything. I don't even know if that's true. I don't remember Disneyland ever being closed other than extreme.
Somebody will know this.
I don't know about
something.
Disneyland.
I heard that rumor that she rented out the whole park, her and Kanye, I think, for somebody's birthday party.
But
I know I've been to Magic Mountain, Six Flags, when it was rented out for like my buddy's company, like rented it, the entire park.
That's badass.
It was from like 5 p.m. on. So it was open normally throughout
the
day.
And then they closed
it. And then they closed early.
Yeah.
Bro. It was like one of the best nights of my life.
That's elite.
You got to ride every, and that's
those are the big roller coasters.
And if you rode it once, you walked right up, you got on, you rode it once. And if you wanted to go again, you just did one of these, spin your hand around. And if they had to wait for 30 seconds to let one new person on, that was it.
So the problem is with having Bo's tall enough to ride most anything now. But if we went to California Adventure, Taylor probably couldn't ride the roller coasters, which he so desires to ride. But we had...
I'm not sure.
We had an elite time. Thank you. All thank you goes to my wife, Hannah, who just... I'm telling you, man, it was like we get off a ride, and we'd be like, zip over here, jump on, and go. She's fantastic, man. She was fantastic.
Growing up here... we would go to Disneyland once or twice a year, and I don't think it happens anymore, but I distinctly remember a couple of times where we went and the place was just empty.
Rad.
I mean,
it was
maybe kind of a drizzly day and no one shows up, and you just walked onto every single ride, go on the same ride four times in a row if you wanted, and I don't think that happens anymore. Even a Wednesday in the middle of fall is now pretty packed like it was for you yesterday. We did learn yesterday that Sammy had never been to Disneyland. And then he learned he, in fact, has been to Disneyland after his dad texted him and said, when you were 10, we took you to Disneyland.
He had no recollection
whatsoever of his trip to Disneyland. He thought he had only been to Disney World, which he falsely assumed was better than Disneyland. And I had to inform him, no, it's bigger, much, much worse.
I'm also going to say
than Disneyland.
I'm not trying to be a jerk because normally I don't care about things like this. You know, this is not really my avenue. It's the year 2024. You need better food options there. And I don't mean food options like I don't need like beautiful dumplings and like off the wall stuff. You got to clean up what you do have. I had a piece of pizza yesterday. Come on. Burger.
Frozen in the middle.
Bro, Bo had a burger yesterday. I was like, it's 2024, bro. This is 1970s cafeteria food at 4-star restaurant prices. Clean it up. People are paying. Do it right. Think about how the ballpark food in your life has improved over the last decade. You're Disneyland. You got people coming in from all over the country. The food there was horrific. And we have, it's the one area, other than the beignets, that we just cannot seem to dial in and find a place that's good. That's good. I don't even mean like
just
great.
Go back, beignets, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
I mean, I would, dude. I'd be 300 pounds, but like there is nothing, like everywhere we go, we've tried all different parts of the park, and there's not a decent meal to sit down quick. And I don't mean sit down at Tower 13. No, I wanted one. I couldn't find one.
Oh.
It's the other thing. Those little stands. It's hot. It's 90 degrees. Give me something to suck on as I'm walking by.
Corn dog.
Save that. Didn't find any corn dogs.
What?
I wanted some sort of fruit pop to walk around and eat when it was hot. You know what they had? Big fat bags of caramel corn and pretzels. I'm like, nobody wants this right now. Figure it out, Disney. But other than that, it was a great day. We had a great day. Thanks for having us. It was really fun.
Good to have you back.
It's good to be back.
All right, we'll get started here. We'll set the menu when we come back. Want to thank Sam Lovett again for coming in yesterday. Did a great job, but we are very happy to always have Woods back on a Thursday. Paulie Reindl, Ben Higgins, we're with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Kelly's got traffic, and we're off and running. Tier 1s, good morning. Welcome on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What the hell goes on in here when I'm gone? I leave for one day. Dude. What the hell happened in here?
Oh, dude. I needed you yesterday.
What happened?
We had good discussions about Mike Schilt potential contract extension. We talked about Ha-Sung Kim.
Okay.
Talked about, you know, budget projections and
you guys did your
luxury tax.
You did your World Series picks, huh?
Well, Sammy was here, so we needed to give him an opportunity.
We had like Adam Jones. We're like, all right, World Series starts on Friday. Who you like?
Who does he
got?
Like?
I think he had Yankees in seven.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Ben goes, oh, really? I was thinking Dodgers in 4 or 5.
Dodgers are going to sweep.
I think they are quite a bit better than the Yankees.
Quite a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's no shame to it. I mean, I look at their lineup. I look at the at-bats they take. And just, it's a much tougher challenge for the Yankees than I think for the Dodgers.
Ben, you do a great job.
It's back.
It's back.
It has to be.
It's unretired.
I mean, now it's out of retirement. Is he?
I couldn't believe it.
Is he doing psychological?
That's what I said. That I said I can't tell if you're serious or if you're like the greatest troll I've ever met.
He's a little of both, maybe.
I mean, I don't want. I said very clearly. I'm cheering for the Yankees. Okay. I would love to be wrong, but.
I don't believe you.
Honest opinion.
You love
I,
being right more than he, anything
no
in the
one
world.
Likes to I be right do. More
I mean,
than him.
I mean, am I supposed to lie and tell you I think the Yankees are going to win? I don't think the Yankees are going to win.
No, you don't have to lie. That's your honest assessment.
It's my honest assessment. I think the Dodgers are the better team. I thought that the lack of starting pitching was going to really cripple them in the playoffs when the playoffs started. That hasn't even come close to being the case. If anything, it's gotten better. Yamamoto's gotten better. Bueller's gotten better.
Yeah.
The weakness that they had going in has not manifested itself at all in October.
Is it wild to you that they're starting Flaherty game one?
A little bit.
Me too. That's what I thought when they made that announcement. But then again, Dave's pushed damn near every button correctly this postseason, so I guess it doesn't surprise me that much. But Garrett Cole, okay, is Dave Roberts literally doing?
I feel like game
is he
one
doing
is
a punt,
a must win for the Yankees now.
Yeah,
like, it's well, with a Garrett Cole, must win
of
with
course.
Garrett Cole against
and
Jack Flaherty.
Yeah,
the Dodgers win game one. I am definitely looking potential sweep.
So here's what's funny: I only placed one bet on the entire series, and I'd never really done this before. But you pick the order of the games, and the odds go through the roof. So it's $10,000. I bought $100 or $10,000.
Like every single game.
So
like
if I get it right, if I get it right, I win $10,000.
Like Yankees win game
Yankees,
one.
Dodgers, here we go. I'll
give you mine. Ready? So I put $100 down to win $10,000. If it goes like this, I win $10,000. Dodgers, Yankees. Dodgers, Dodgers, Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. If it goes that way, I win $10,000 in seven.
So just like Adam said, but down 3-1, the Yankees come back
and win three straight.
And win it.
Depleted bullpen. Everyone's exhausted. You know, you had to cover some leverage innings for Flaherty. You had to cover some for Yamamoto. It's weird watching the game tomorrow going, if they're going to, I need Garrett Cole to get lit up a little bit, but no, I would like to see the Yankees in four. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think the Yankees will win this in six or seven.
All right. You agree with Adam Jones.
Yes. Yeah.
And I mean, they certainly can. If Stanton stays hot, and Judge connects a couple of times, sure, that can be the complete difference in the series.
I think you're forgetting about a really good player they have in Juan Soto. Yeah, he's like a game-changing type person, much like Shohei Ohtani is. I mean, he has every bit the hitting prowess of Shohei Ohtani. Every bit of it.
I don't remember Juan Soto doing much against the Dodgers when he was here.
No, I don't really either.
I mean, even in the series that they won.
He
had one massive hit.
He won?
He tied the game.
He did tie the game. Yeah. But overall, like during the season and everything, he did most of his damage, I felt, against other teams.
I mean, it's not like Juan Soto was like only feasted on crap pitching.
No, I'm not saying that. But,
you know. So, yeah, all right. Well, I saw this in the chat earlier. I dismissed it as somebody's doing a bit with me, but he really did. Dodgers in five. Oh, cool. Yeah. Guy's leaning in. He's really gone full heel. It's very weird to see.
I don't see it as heel. I am absolutely 100% rooting for the Yankees. I would wear a Yankees hat. I want them to win badly.
Yeah.
I simply am pointing out that I think the Dodgers have the deeper lineup and a better bullpen.
They got a good team, man. They got a good team.
Any advantage that the Yankees had in starting pitching is the same advantage I thought that the Mets and the Padres had.
Sure.
And it was pointless. Didn't materialize at all. So why is it going to make a difference in this series?
Yeah, for sure. Look, they're both really, really great teams. And I think the edge in starting pitching obviously goes to the Yankees. But I don't think the Yankees have a real slouch of a bullpen either. You know, when they're healthy and rested, Tommy Kahnle is as nasty as can be. Luke Weaver's fantastic. I don't know that you want to. Who's the guy that used to be their closer? I don't know. You want to see him again.
Clay Holmes.
Yeah, dude. Clay Holmes had a rough series last one. But I think, they're really evenly matched. I mean, they're really, really evenly matched. And it's a heavyweight. It's certainly a heavyweight slugfest. Certainly. I can't wait for it. I absolutely cannot wait for the friggin' World Series to start tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, as distasteful as the particular teams are,
sure,
it is a great matchup.
It's a great matchup.
It's
a
great matchup.
It's a great matchup.
Woods forgot his favorite thing about Disneyland, so we'll get to that coming up. The rest of the menu, kind of a bit of a random Thursday. We'll certainly talk a little more Padres off-season baseball. There were a couple of topics we didn't get to yesterday with Sammy that I would love to talk about with the Tier 1s this morning on Padres baseball. We'll have Take on Woods. Actually, it's Throwback Thursday, right? We got Real or Fake coming up at 7:10. And we got a new prize, one that Woods would be very excited if he was available to win. Dia de los Deftones tickets.
Woo!
At Petco Park on November 2nd.
God,
you don't need
prize.
Them. You've already bought your
tickets.
So you're...
Yeah.
You're good for that, but we'll give away a prize today at 7:10. Don't do this at 7:20. It is a Smart Baseball Thursday, so we'll have a Smart World Series preview and see what Eno Saris thinks about the matchup between the Dodgers and Yankees.
Let's see if he were a betting man, what he would do.
I don't know what he's going to say, but we will have him on at 8:30. We've got the Rindle Report, our NFL football threesome at 9:20, and then head to Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock this morning. Quick menu set, what Woodsy's favorite part of Disneyland, and some Padres talk coming up next here on Better Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Just looked at the YouTube feed. Did you see it?
Yes, I see it.
Sometimes when I go full boomer, Pauly will turn me green, like the incredible boomer. Like, I'm me right here.
There you go.
But the incredible boomer comes out, And I'm, stop bunting, you know, like, whatever. And now he lives in me. He lives in me. He's in there. I'd have to tamp him down. But Benny got the royal treatment this morning with the Dodger Blue. And it is something else. Oh, there it is. Mr. L.A. Mr. L.A. It's hard. It's hard to break free of your connection to Magic Johnson and Dave Roberts. I get it. I mean, there's a part of me that absolutely understands.
I've never cheered for the Dodgers a day in my life. I want that to be very clear. Never once was I even never once have I been a Dodgers fan.
That graphic is amazing.
I will own being a Lakers fan. I've pulled for the Rams, you know, a few times.
Yeah, I pulled for the Rams a little bit.
But never once have I ever cheered for the Dodgers.
Old Hollywood Higgins.
Somebody said, why does that look like Ben's natural hat?
I wasn't unhappy when the Kings won the Stanley Cup. I have some L.A. in me. I get it. I've never, ever, ever, ever cheered for the Dodgers.
Oh, man. That's a really good graphic, though, Holly. It really is. I saw, it's funny, man, because, you know, I was at Disneyland yesterday, and I saw
it. You can take it off now, Paulie.
It looked like a rally. It looked like a Dodgers rally, and I was.
That's every day.
No,
really, you don't think so?
So when we went in May, I think I came back on the air in May and said, "Guys, it was 94% Padres fans and 6% Giant fans." I'm not joking. I will be 100% honest. As we went yesterday, I went, oh, my. Now, Bo does this thing anytime he sees his Dodger fans. He's like, he elbows me. He's like, Dad. I'm like, I know, I see. So all day yesterday, he's like, oh, my God, another one. I'm like, yeah, bro, I see it. It's like, it looked like a Pantone 294 rally at Disneyland yesterday. So I was DMing with a buddy of mine that's a Dodger fan, and I said it was a sea of blue. He goes, there's one thing L.A. loves, it's a front runner. He goes, it's really, really, really annoying.
That they have picked up some bandwagoners, no doubt.
I mean, obviously. Yeah, of course. So it was quite disgusting yesterday. But one guy had a Dodgers jersey on. It was a Dodgers jersey. It had the MLB patch and everything. But the front of it said Disneyland. And I said, man, if they lose this World Series, they're never beating the allegations, ever. They're never beating the allegations of the Mickey Mouse World Series. But it was a lot. But as we were leaving the park yesterday, I was walking down Main Street. You know, I'm ready to go at this point. I'm wiped. I'm ready to get in the car, drive on back, relax. But something brought me to a standstill, and it was this.
Oh.
You better not be stingy. Take a treat. Barbershop Quartet. And we've talked about
the famous Dapper Dans.
The Dapper Dans. We've talked about Barbershop Quartets many, many a time on this show. And I've wondered why it's, you know, gone away. Were you guys getting too many girls? So
they just had to take
The pinstripe shirts and hats off. You guys were getting, guys, I gotta tell you, I'm crushing too much right now. So I'm gonna take this off for a while. I'm gonna go do something else. But the Dapper Dans slayed it yesterday, and I thought to myself, this is the last remaining barbershop quartet on the planet.
At least one that performs daily.
Daily. Don't be stingy, or your nightmares will come true. And just remember,
life advice from the Dapper Dans.
From the Dapper Dans. Really, really
good. They were good, though. That was impressive.
Yeah, very good. Bop it a bop it a bop it a bop bop it a dang 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 blue moon blue moon blue moon. Dip the dip the blue 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 moon. Dip the dip the blue 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 moon. Dip the dip the dip bop the bop the bop the bop bop the dang the dang 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 dang.
Pantone
blue moon. Just incredible.
Fine.
This is my favorite part of the day, seeing those guys. My phone. I have too many women wanting to give me their number. So I'm leaving. I'm walking away from the band.
Yeah, I'm part of a barbershop quartet. You should see my DMs. That's
insane. So good, dude. So good.
All right. We speaking of the Dodgers, we did we discussed Shohei Ohtani. Wanted to get more into it yesterday, and we ended up not having time.
Did you guys see him stunned in his pictures yesterday?
I saw all the pictures of him, like his advertising campaigns in Japan. Now, why was he in a forest in his like marketing pictures? It looked like there was like trees behind him.
I don't know, but I saw MLB literally tweeted
the Fall Classic.
The Fall Classic, is that what it was?
Okay. MLB tweeted yesterday. Shohei stuns in his World Series picture shoot, photo shoot. And it's just him, like, tipping his cap. He's not, like, shirtless with a lion next to him. You know what I mean? Like, he was just, like, tipping his hat. They're like, Shohei stuns in photo shoot.
I mean, he has good complexion.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's a sharp enough guy. I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, Ha-Sung Kim is much more
handsome.
I think stylish and handsome,
yeah.
Isn't he?
In
terms of,
but he's not he's not in the World Series.
No, he's not.
No,
but I guess this is part of maybe the strategy to make sure that Shohei is the ambassador of the game. That Aaron Judge says he is, and I kind of pushed back on that yesterday. Argued about it with Adam Jones a little bit. I want to get your take on it quickly after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I think today is the official workout day, but there's already been some pre-media. Obviously, Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts have named their starting pitchers for Game 1. And, you know, we've heard the general platitudes of players talking about their opponents, including Aaron Judge a couple of days ago asked about, you know, Shohei Ohtani and the kind of player he was. And here's what Aaron Judge had to say.
Other than the obvious, what do you admire about Shohei?
Other than the obvious, I feel like everything's obvious. You know, hits for average, hits for power, the speed. You know, doing what he did this year with the 50 stolen bases, that's it got talked about a lot, but I don't think it got talked about enough. It's just he's an impressive athlete. You know, the best player in the game, and you know, what an ambassador for this sport.
All right, so everything I think he said was absolutely true until maybe the last, you know, five words. And it got me thinking, just because you're a great player, does that make you inherently an ambassador of the sport? And I talked about this with Adam Jones. I said, Mike Trout is an unbelievable player.
I think he's the automatic comparison.
He's not an ambassador for the sport. Now, other people have pushed Shohei on us so much.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that's organically Shohei reaching out to become an ambassador to the sport. He is simply the face kind of baseball right now because he plays in Los Angeles and he's a global brand and he, you know, is in a lot of advertisements.
But does that make you it's a tricky word.
An ambassador of the sport.
It's a tricky word. That's a tricky word. It's a tricky title to give someone. The ambassador means that you're kind of out front and center. And I don't think it's something that you can necessarily lobby for or call yourself. I think somebody has to bless you as the ambassador of the sport. What the hell even is an ambassador of the sport?
Well,
who's the ambassador of the NFL? Who's the ambassador of the NBA? Who's the ambassador of the
NHL? I think it's tough to be a player, an active player, and also be an ambassador. I told Adam Jones, I think you're an ambassador to the sport.
Adam Jones is a literal ambassador to the sport. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a good, but A.
He brought up, he said, Mookie Betts, you know, where he goes and does a podcast and has players come in and he's talking about the game and, you know, things they love about the game. That is ambassadorial qualities that Mookie Betts, you know, exhibits.
Does that mean Eric Hosmer is an ambassador?
Probably at this point now, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Current players? I mean, yeah, I think Mookie's
current player.
Like NFL, Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce?
In season.
Maybe. Is he an ambassador?
I don't know that he... Yeah.
Yeah, and Satan's Blowfish makes a really good point. Why do we assign ambassador titles to people sharing baseball with people who already love baseball? Like, we don't need an ambassador to the sport. We just love the sport. So, like, you got us, and, you know, we get it. But Shohei, I think the international scene, number one, is huge. Number two, the fact that he's a pitcher and hitter and really, really
he's the worldwide face of the sport right now. No doubt about it. But, you know, to me, I don't see Shohei necessarily doing anything other than what he's supposed to be doing and earning his, you know, his meager $2 million salary by going out there and playing really good baseball.
All right, now,
yeah,
now,
he went and shot a New Balance ad at some point, and he's in a lot of advertisements in Japan. But does that make you an ambassador just because you're making extra money, you know, taking on endorsements? I don't think necessarily that's the case.
Now, Kurt said something I disagree with. He says, Ben is the ambassador for 97.3.
No, Woods is the ambassador for 97.3.
I didn't want to say it. I can't call myself the ambassador, but I feel like I am. But I can't say that.
You are the outreach.
Yes.
You are the person who interacts, you know, more on a day-to-day basis.
Correct.
Going up to the tier ones, going up to our listeners. You are an ambassador. I am, you know, I do my job. I do it well.
Yeah.
But you have more ambassadorial quality.
That's true.
Like, I don't even know if LeBron is a great ambassador for the game. He's one of the best players. He was the best player.
I feel like
he's the biggest face.
I feel like if you need...
I think so.
Like, I feel like if you need something about the NBA, that's the guy you go to. He's the King S, right? He is like...
Is that what an ambassador is, though? Is it more just growing the game? Like, I would say, like, Charles Barkley might be a better ambassador.
Great ambassador. Shaq, great ambassador.
Former players are much better at being ambassadors than current players.
Tough to be an ambassador when you're current.
Now, on the court antics aside, Draymond Green is doing postseason analyst work on the games when he's not in it. He does a podcast in season. Is he more of an ambassador than LeBron James?
I mean, LeBron has his, you know, his podcasts and show that he does that is promoting the sport as well.
But what I'm hearing is, you have a podcast, then you can be an
ambassador.
That's
part of it. How about Luisa Rise?
I mean, in 2024? Yesterday,
they announced Luisa Rise is going to be an MLB reporter
during
the World Series, mostly for Spanish language broadcast. But that's an ambassadorial thing to do.
Yes.
And, you know, it's also, I'm sure, helping him in a way get ready for whatever happens after his career and making more connections. It's terrific that it's something that he can do and has this opportunity to do, but that's an ambassadorial task that he's taken on.
Panadero 619 in the chat says he's one of us. He hides money so he does not get taxed, and he gambles and loses like the everyday guy. He's an ambassador.
It's true.
Allegedly. I mean, it's been alleged, but I guess he was a victim.
And I don't mean it as a criticism. We love Manny Machado.
Yeah.
But, you know, Manny, when he's not at the ballpark, he is, you know, at home usually. He does a lot of things for the community.
Sure.
Which is great.
He's an ambassador for the Padres.
But I wouldn't call him an ambassador for baseball. And I don't know that I would throw... You know, Fernando Tatis is a great face for the Padres
and
entertainment, but he's not someone that I would say is an ambassador for the sport, at that point.
I'd argue in favor of Tatis.
Tatis is like Ohtani. He's very marketable.
Tatis was like the face of the let the kids play.
Ooh, yes. That ambassadorial role of like, hey, man, let's let these kids play. That really was due to him. That's a really interesting point you make, Paulie.
Agent of change in baseball, I would say, Fernando Tatis Jr.,
sure. You know the coolest frigging thing about baseball that I've just now realized? I've got a six-year-old son. You guys know him. He loves baseball so much. You know what he's been doing? He's been getting a piece of paper, and he's been drawing a diamond on it, and he has all these baseball cards. And he picks his favorite players, and he puts them in the position. He will actually, probably not supposed to do it. He tapes them to their position. And he walks around with this big mobile that he's, Dad, look at this. You know the coolest friggin' thing about it? He has Jazz Chisholm at third. He loves Jazz. He loves the Flash. He has Gunnar Henderson at short. Completely different player than a Jazz Chisholm. He's got Aaron Judge in right. He's got in center. He's got Tatis in right. He's got Gritty Bryce Harper at first base. He's got Zach Geloff playing second base. You can like it all. Like, isn't that cool? Like, it's not just, oh.
I'm impressed that a six-year-old knows who Zach Geloff is.
He is so sharp. But that's the thing is, like, all of these guys in their... In their totality, right, make up this great game. There's guys out there, if they were doing their lineup, trust me, Jazz Chisholm wouldn't be in it. I'd have a gritty, grindy third baseman in it like Nolan Arenado. Bo likes a little bit of what every player brings, and I think that kind of, it kind of blew my mind when I saw that, man.
All right, we are done with 1 hour. That was fast. It's good to have Woods back.
It's good to
be
back.
Time flies when Woods is having fun. And since I'm already talking L.A., might as well just dive into it. Did an L.A. team open the greatest arena in the history of arenas last night?
I'm hearing good things.
I am, too. That and Real or Fake coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.